Hello and welcome to The Rebuild. My name is Peter Moses, and with me on the other line, doctor, father, Browns fan, Gates Merriman. Hello, Gates.
Hey, people. How are you, everybody? It's been a little while.
Listen, we are right on track for our, what did we promise, four podcasts this year?
At least four. Well, at most four. Four, exactly. Yes.
A podcast for every child that is accounted for in this.
We're just spitting out kids these days. I just had, over the summer, a little update for our fans, because this is what they want to hear about. I had we welcomed our second child. We named him Henry, after Henry Ettinger, of course.
Why wouldn't you?
Person who actually records on this feed ever. So it was in honor of him. We named him Henry. And so we've got two now. Peter, you have some news?
On the way, man. Number one, Baker LeBron on the way.
Baker LeBron Moses. Or are you just going to cut the Moses out and it's just going to be Baker LeBron?
I think just Baker LeBron.
Yeah, that's
good. And also probably just my wife's last name. She had a fair point. She's like, I'm doing this for 9 months. Why your name? I'm like, I honestly have no, other than just the patriarchy, I have no argument.
It's the convention. Just quiet you.
Yeah, that's going real well. Working real well for me.
I'm joking. I'm being ironic. Okay.
Yeah, no. All knock on wood, all goes well. My son should be celebrating his both first Super Bowl and Brown Super Bowl mid-February.
Wow. Perfect timing.
Couldn't be better.
Let's run a scenario by you. Let's say the due date is basically the day of the Super Bowl. Browns are playing in the Super Bowl. Your wife goes into labor during the Super Bowl. What happens? They have TVs in labor rooms, but how do you see that playing out? She knows how important they are to you. But this is
I think, man, this has made me really nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
I mean, I think TV's off, and I have a direct line to somebody who has recorded the game.
Huh.
And I'm in a full audio blackout. Like, I'm in a full communications blackout.
Wow. The logistics of this are tricky, because you're going to have...
No doctor, no nurse, no doula, no one is allowed
No one allowed in the room?
No, it's not in the room. I'm delivering the child. I'm administering the epidural. I think I'd be like, no one can talk about it. We're not allowed to, like, and then I would have someone deliver me a recording.
The bad news.
Yes, the 34-15 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Exactly.
I mean, the good news is the baby's due in December, so life is...
Okay, so...
Thank God.
So this is probably not going to happen.
I don't know. How would your wife... What would you do?
I really don't know. It's luckily never even been close to an issue. I had a kind of similar thing with the Cavs. I was on my honeymoon during the 2016 finals, and we were in Hawaii, so like the games were all... smack in the middle of the day, but she was down. We would just like find fun places to watch
your rehearsal dinner. We watched them go down. They lost their 3-1. Third game of the series.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Sucked the air out of my wedding big time. Just a bleak affair. So I managed that. I don't know though. The Browns playing in a Super Bowl while a baby's being born. It's going to happen to someone. We should get that person on the pod.
Yeah, come on the podcast. Tell us about your divorce. I mean,
because you can have more kids. You're not getting another Super Bowl.
Yeah, you could have more kids with your next wife, is what you
said. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, oh man, that made me really nervous. The Browns are going to play this week. We're playing a game.
We are. This is Labor Day that we're recording this, so we are 6 days away, 6 days and a couple hours. How do you feel about the late start? I used to always want late starts. I don't feel that way anymore. I like just get me that game as soon as possible.
If you have never had the privilege of living on the always on fire West Coast of the United States,
Yep, which there you don't anymore. Now you live in the always hurricaning East Coast.
Yep.
You know what's good? The Midwest is good.
I have chosen flood. I've chosen death by water over death by fire. Thank you very much. Listen, we'll all be fleeing back to the Great Lakes pretty soon.
Exactly. It's going to be great.
Some prime real estate over there. I mean, the 10 a.m.
But you had a good situation going. Yeah.
It's just the best. You just, because you wake up and you're not stressed and you're just like, here we fucking go. And then also the best part is, now this is also pre-children, you knock it out. So you're like, wife, you go do brunch. You go sleep in. You go do whatever the fuck you got to do. And then we will rendezvous for an aftermarket flea market, or maybe a late lunch or brunch, or maybe a walk in the park. But like, you're good to go. Whereas now I feel like it's, you gotta focus and say, okay, I'm just like going to give you all my attention from like 8 a.m. to 1. But like, I'm really not thinking about you because I'm just thinking about this fucking football game.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that was like 3, so, or 3:30, or no, sorry, 4:30? What time is it on the East Coast?
Like 4:15.
The Chiefs game, right.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not going to not watch the 1 o'clock games. Those are the season openers. So yeah, a tough line to walk with the spouse.
I'm pretty sure the move is, but like by the time 4 o'clock rolls around, just make sure she's sick of me. You know what I mean? Just like put in enough time where she's just like, would you fuck off, please? Like, would you just go... do something
else. You
got
an early start on that over the last several years, so
coming up on 5 years, so she's over it.
My problem is my daughter doesn't let us watch anything, but you'll find out about something called Coco Melon, which is just the worst, but she dictates the TV schedule, so I'm not sure. I might just end up watching this game like on my phone in the bathroom.
Oh, I am 100% resigned to the fact that I will exclusively be watching every football game for the rest of my life on an iPad.
Yeah, that's okay.
No doubt. Yeah.
It's fine. Listen,
I know there are battles to pick, and like having a large screen television, like I will save those for playoffs. I will save those for like Monday, or like, you know, I will sneak them in where I can, but like you really got to pick your battles here.
Absolutely. But we've got the game, man. It's amazing to actually be here because since last season ended, I've just been just over the moon excited about starting this year. And it's just
a couple things I just want to bring up too. We've always talked about on this podcast that like it was a race against time between the world ending and the Browns getting good. And I feel we are here.
It's getting
good for both of them. It's like it is, the moment has arrived. We have ravaging pandemic, a 9/11 every day.
Yeah.
Let's see. No more abortions. Out of Afghanistan. Right. On fire. Everything's on fire. Everything's underwater. And the Cleveland Browns have the best 53-man roster of our goddamn lives.
It's true. It's coming. Just getting it in right under the wire here before social collapse. And hopefully,
I feel like football will hold on through societal collapse. Like if we're in like our kind of like Handmaid's Tale, you know, authoritarian state, they'll definitely hold on to football. Basketball is toast, but like the Browns could probably go for a couple more years.
Maybe. Well, hopefully we can just wrap it up this year and then we don't have to worry about it.
And then we're good.
Move on to other problems.
Let me tell you about my good friend Canada.
You know what I think is a wonderful warm-up for getting ready for this season? I will recommend to you a podcast I stumbled across recently called Brownstown. Hey,
oh, baby.
Natural
now you're talking.
Plug. Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yep. Produced by a well-meaning idiot. It is the story of... No, okay. So for those of you not know, Peter produced along with... Well, I don't know what the terminology is, but along with Andre Knott of Cleveland media fame, mostly with the Indians these days, are just a fantastic retrospective kind of like basically... you know, audio diary of all of our the Cleveland Browns foibles over the last 20 years and how we got to this point. How would you describe it? You made it.
Well, they often call like written things oral histories, but this is literally an oral history. This is oral because Andre is orating the history of the Browns. And
I was looking for the term oral history, and I came up with audio diary, which is it's like English is my second language. I just have to like look it up in my little
dictionary. You're like Sarah Jessica Parker on Sex and the City. You're like, dear diary, another loss for the Browns today. No, I mean, like, I work at Blue Wire. It's where this podcast is. We had an awesome chance to connect with Andre, and it's really, you know, this show is going to be 15 episodes chronicling 20 years of heartbreak and misery. But we hope that it's kind of, you know, you got to kind of like properly address a wound for it to heal. Mm-hmm. And this is really kind of going through, hey, if we're about to be fucking sweet, which we all know if you're listening to this podcast that we're going to the Super Bowl, you got to really kind of appreciate the suffering that mm-hmm. we've all been put through. I mean, we talk about trauma, like, our wives just had us back on Sundays in December because we'd just given up on the team. When we started doing this podcast, they were 0-16.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? We just gave up. We gave up on the concept of podcasting. And
there's nothing to say after you reach loss number 12 and you've kind of you've hit all the high points.
Right. You're like, well, Cody Kessler got concussed again.
I think it's like the perfect prep for the season, because it is like, I don't feel like I'm exactly having an identity crisis, but for so long the identity and almost like the source of pride of being a Browns fan was just like, hey man, I'm still here even though this team has been absolutely miserable basically since I could start forming memories, and that became like the badge of honor. And now we're moving to this phase where it's like, hopefully, if things line up — they probably won't because they never do — but it's looking like we're going to be competitive for a while, and we have this brain trust in leadership that is going to stick around actually for a bit of time. We're kind of going to shed like that woe is us sort of status, hopefully. But I'm enjoying looking back, especially the Art Modell stuff, because it's stuff that I kind of have like emotional memory of, but nothing, not like specific memory of. So it's cool hashing through all that stuff. So I really like it.
I appreciate it. It's also something where, why are you doing this thing now? Well, it's like no one's really kind of like accounted for how to articulate the pain that we've gone through, and also why Cleveland feels like the butt of every joke for the NFL, or kind of how people have to get over the proverbial hump that like we are really actually Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Like for real. And you know, I hope this is something — Dre was just the perfect person to do this with, because he was able to connect with so many awesome people. Brady Quinn, Tim Couch, Romeo Crennel, Phil Savage, Phil Dawson. The list goes on. And like Jim Donovan was awesome.
Terry Pluto's great on it.
Terry Pluto. I mean, it's just, it's really cool to kind of put it all in one place. And they're also like 15, 20 minutes long. So it's not like you're like slogging into like, here's what happened in the eighth game of the Butch Davis season. It's like, no, we're not going to give you — we'll give you some stuff that feels like some juicy tidbits, but like really what we're trying to do is say, like, you know, where we were as an organization to get here was a compounded mistakes.
Yeah.
Compounded, like, you know, you would have never had, you know, the Johnny Manziel years if you hadn't had the Brandon Whedon years, if you hadn't had the Jeff Garcia years, if you hadn't had the Charlie Fry years. It's just like, you have to, and it's kind of all impossible to remember, unless you're like, holy shit, there was so much fucked up stuff that happened. Like, the Dwayne Rudd year, they were great.
Yeah,
they were really good that year.
I was at that game.
That is just,
I was at that game. I was at Bottlegate. I was at some good ones. Shout out Drew Hanna. Thanks for taking me to all those games. But no, it's so nice, like, going through all that stuff, it's so nice to not — the things we used to have to talk ourselves into in a given season, like that would break correctly, or even just like the things that we were left over to get excited about. Like, do you remember the, it was kind of around, I guess, like 2013, 2014, when Alex Shiner, I think was his name, became president of the team, like came over from the Cowboys. And he's like, here's the plan, guys. We're going to get a sick new sound system in the stadium. And there were like articles written like, Browns like seek competitive advantage with like the loudest speakers you can buy. It's like, oh my fucking God. And that's like what we had to try to hang our hats on. We're like, yeah, honestly, like with this crowd, we could get pretty loud. That's like, you know, like good like luck offenses.
Yeah.
Like, they were okay. As it turned out.
Take that, Ben Roethlisberger, most yeah. winning quarterback in the stadium history.
Oh my God. Hey, not anymore. But yeah, I it's like, that's like kind of what I've become reflective about listening to, I think, the first three episodes of the Potter Hour.
Yes.
Another drops tomorrow.
Every Tuesday for the next 3 months. And then you can, you know, as I said, it's it should be what your son is listening to as he's put to bed. just to really, you know, have this yeah. stuff indoctrinated in him. But yeah, that's check important. Out Brownstown. And I appreciate the plug. And yeah, if you're listening to this, it's a good time, and you should share it with all your Browns friends, because also share it with your not Browns friends, because if they're trying to figure out why you're a psychopath, this is a yeah. great way to just say, like, I don't really have to tell you, just listen to this fucking podcast.
It's interesting. It's interesting. The ghost. It's good. So check that out. And now you owe me $40,000 for mentioning.
That's it. That's yeah. it. $40,000. You got it. Doll hairs. Okay. They are, the team is tight. Tell me,
yeah.
all right, tell me your favorite thing about the, tell me your thing you're most excited about the 53-man roster, and the thing that you're most scared about in the 53-man roster. And I'm going to take kicker out of it.
Kicker, I know everyone's worried about Chase McLaughlin. I know you just said you're taking it out of it, but I'm not, I don't know. Kickers, we were spoiled. The only good things we ever had in the two decades of misery were Phil Dawson and Joe Thomas. So like, those are the things that we expect are going to go right. That like, oh, your kicker just should be consistent. But most teams in the league recycle kickers like we have the last couple of years. There's very
yeah.
few, you know, you have, you know, Tucker in Baltimore, and the Patriots, of course, always had like Hall of Fame kickers, but there aren't many who are consistently just stick around for like a decade. So this is just kind of what we have to deal with. I think we have, the right coaching and leadership to know that, like, you don't always have to kick a field goal when you're, you know, 27 yards out and it's fourth and one. And then they can weigh that kind of risk of going with it. So that's my little expose on the kicker. Chase McLaughlin, he seems fine, even though he's been on like five teams in 2 years.
I mean, also,
he's so popular. Wait, hey, he must be good. That many
everybody
teams
wants him. I also like, are we, how much spilled milk are we crying over Cody Parkey? Like,
yeah,
like it's like when your field goal kicker is like, ooh, I hope he's got the distance for that 43 yarder. Like,
yeah,
that's something
yeah.
where we're like,
and he has perhaps like the most famous fuck up of a kick, you know, since the Bills in the 90s. Basically, it's okay that, you know, it'd be one thing if Phil Dawson got injured and we were stuck with Chase McLaughlin, but it was like we went from a C+ to a C+, in my opinion. So whatever.
I think also all the vitriol, that undeserved vitriol that Joe Woods got last year, I'm putting my undeserved wary vitriolic eyes on Mike Prefer.
Wow.
And the special
Hold
teams.
On. Hold on, let me write that one down.
Yeah, write that one down.
Okay.
Like,
so
if I'm gonna be irrational.
Why
about
do you say that
coach,
in a different way?
What do you think?
I have no idea what you're saying.
Listen, all I'm saying is Mike Prefer is supposed to be the best special teams coach in the history of special teams.
Sure.
That guy's a big fucking leg. You better make sure he kicks straight. And also, our special teams were like kind of low-key mediocre last year.
Wait, so why did you mention Joe Woods? I'm confused. Did you not?
Because
mean
I feel
to?
Like people were like, oh, Joe Woods sucks last year. He's so bad. And it's like, well, no, the defense was fucking terrible. He didn't have anybody.
Okay.
Zendaya
okay.
was playing.
I see.
And I'm saying,
yeah,
if this year you want to be unrealistic, like, focus those shitty opinions justifiably about the special teams. Like, if Chase McLaughlin misses a kick and we lose a game, knives out. Let's go.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. He just also, like, yeah, he missed an extra point. So what? He was booting. He almost hit like a 55 or 57 yarder. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. It clanked it off the crossbar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know you just said we're not going to talk about kicker, and we just did for like 5 minutes. But okay. Back to your original question. The thing I'm most excited about, I mean, it's kind of a cliche answer, but like, if you look in the bigger picture, not just Baker being in his second year in the same system for the first time in his career, this is like, I would have to look at the list, but when is the last time anyone in a Browns uniform has been in the second year of a system. I guess Hugh Jackson. There were 2 years of Hugh Jackson, and we won one game. But well, prior to that, like, we kept turning.
No, because also didn't Todd Haley come in the second year?
I think he came in the third year after 0-16.
Oh my God, I can't believe they gave him 3 years.
We're bringing him back.
Yeah, but like when you're going from Cody Kessler to Deshaun Kizer, it's like, is that a system that you like believe in anyways?
Well, Kevin Hogan was in there too, so don't forget about Kevin Hogan.
Probably not since who's the Niners coach?
Shanahan was only there 1 year, and then he literally gave a presentation for how badly he wanted to leave, and they were like, that's a good point.
like, can we come with you? And it's like, no, you own the team.
So it'll be nice to kind of know what like things are supposed to look like and see what kind of new wrinkles can be added in. And I just also on top of that, with that is just, I think Baker is fucking sweet and hasn't had the chance to show it. And some national people kind of are on that, but for the most part, everyone's like, yeah, I mean, he's kind of limited. Like they treat him like he's a system guy. And I think he's a lot more than that. I think we're going to see it big time this year.
That throw to Kadarius Hodge in the Falcons game was some Aaron Rodgers shit right there.
Yeah. It was beautiful. It was a nice catch too. Kadarius Hodge. Good luck in Detroit.
Yeah. Have fun. Not great.
What are you feeling excited about here, Pete?
I'm excited about the secondary.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about the secondary.
Right now, apparently, or available at least, which was not the case during the preseason.
I just think, like, even if they're not all healthy, there is something to the fact that, like, even if they're not all healthy, like, they're just, they were so depleted last year. So fucking depleted. There was no one.
Like, even at full strength, which we never were. Like, even if Delpit had been around last season, we still just didn't really have, like, anything comparable to...
Ronnie Harrison was our best player as soon as he got traded to us.
Yeah.
And, like was in and out all season, getting acclimated and then with injury. But, like...
Yep.
John Johnson, Hill, Delpit, Greedy, Denzel. Like, it's just a secondary where... Also, if you're... offense regresses a little bit down to, I don't know, 33 points a game, let's say.
Yeah.
Like, chances are you're going to be up in some games. And also, having Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett, is, even if Jadeveon's there for half the games, like, that is a presence that Myles Garrett has never had. I just think the secondary is going to push everything up. And really, I mean, I know we're drinking the Kool-Aid because we can never act like we've been here before. This has always been hyperbole, but...
We're going to get more of? Are we going to get more coverage? Are coverage sacks going to be a bigger part of our identity, or pressure picks? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Are we going to get sacks because our coverage is so good, or are we going to get picks because our pressure is so good, or a little bit of both?
I think that, like... I think kind of it's chicken or the egg, obviously, but I do think, like, you can't, like, if Tack McKinley is healthy and plays, and also some of the plays of Malik McDowell just, like, picking people up, like, he's in the fucking blinds.
I haven't actually, like, seen any of it. I've heard a lot about it, but that's a pretty cool, I mean, Jesus.
It would be like if you lined up in your living room against your 2-month-old son. And you were like, son, I want you to pass block. Yeah. And then I'll, you know, try to get past you. That's kind of what it felt like. It was absolutely bananas.
What's fantastic about this is in almost every other year of our lives, he would be our best defensive player or best player on the defensive front. And we'd be counting, like, putting all of our eggs in that basket. Now he's what, number 4, probably?
I mean, he's basically like a free first round pick from that. Like, also, we don't need him to really be good this year. To me, they're also with him, like, experimenting on the outside, him is super exciting. I don't really, it's just like, that's the kind of stuff that, like, the really good teams do. And it's our front line a little bit. I think our secondary is actually probably a little bit more complete than our front line, but.
Our front line, when healthy and available, is great. But yeah, it gets a little testy after we get into our depth a little bit, I think.
And also the biggest thing is, you know, the thing about Clowney that no one appreciates is he's really great against the run.
Yeah, he's like elite, as good as he gets against the run.
Yeah, so to me, he's also never like, what are you going to do? You can't double both of them.
I just can't wait to see the shot, like the close-up shot of Myles Garrett and Clowney lined up next to each other. Like when they move them both inside or move Clowney over to Garrett's side, it's just going to be just for the physics of it is going to be just fantastic.
Here's a little tidbit. All you kids at home keeping score. Kansas City Chiefs have spent all offseason trying to get their fucking offensive line together.
Yeah, three rookies, is that correct? I think I heard that somewhere.
Hello, here is Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and fucking Thanos in Malik McDowell. I mean, he looks like they're just ginormous. They're just ginormous. Our one NFL insider told us about the Browns line. They look very big. That's okay. Our one NFL insider told us that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We got a guy on the inside.
Yeah, we know one person.
Our
NFL source said the Browns are very big up front, which I don't know. That sounds like a good thing.
Oh, man. The other thing I'm excited about, now we're just going off script. We don't have a script, and it shows. but I think it was like, I listened to all the podcasts. I think Dan Lobby said something along these lines on like the Orange or Brown talk, whatever it is. But basically, okay, you know the way that we use Nick Chubb and how it's very different than the way that, like, say, the Titans use Derrick Henry. Like, Derrick Henry basically gets every carry because they need him to. We use Nick Chubb, like, as optimally as possible. He gets a good amount of carries, but he's not just purely the workhorse. We're able to spread things out with Kareem, and then just we're smart about his workload, right? What I think it was Dan Lobby was saying is, like, OBJ might kind of be able to be the Nick Chubb of our receiving core, in that he's extremely talented, but things don't need to depend on just feeding him nonstop. It doesn't just have to be like, okay, get him the ball and see what can happen. In the same way that we don't just say like, okay, keep handing off to Nick Chubb and hopefully he breaks one. Like, using him strategically and kind of judiciously, I think he can have, like, maybe not, you know, Nick Chubb doesn't lead in carries. And I don't think OBJ is going to lead anything or even be top 10 in receptions. But I think his impact when he touches the ball is going to be enormous because of how he's deployed.
You know, it was, to that point, one of the most satisfying things about last season was just watching the Browns on first and 10 get like 6.5 yards on a run.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, awesome. Oh, fuck yeah. This changes everything about our entire philosophy of everything we can do. Because, you know, at any point, even if there was that third down in, I think, the Dallas game where Dernis Johnson came in and like they ran the ball on like 3rd and 9. And like when in any other point in Brown's history are you like thinking about them being a running threat on a 3rd and long? And I think that to me is something that wasn't fully established when OBJ went down in terms of like their offensive rhythm and identity.
Yeah.
And if you're like, yes, are people going to come after the bootleg or stop the play action? Sure. But like, how do you stop the play action when you're giving up 7 yards a run? And then Kareem Hunt comes in and like looks for you when you're trying to tackle you and is like, I'm going to use my head like a battering ram to get another 4 yards. I'm having a hard time understanding like where. Like I just think this offense is going to be out of fucking control, and I feel like
they're so multidimensional. Like, what do you try to take away? I don't know.
I do not know what you take away. It's like, you know, what do you give the offense that has everything already? I'm just like, I'm genuinely not sure. It's so exciting.
It's so exciting, man.
I don't know how, like, what other offense is as complete as ours? And I guess you could say Tampa Bay or Kansas City.
Kansas City, like, we saw a couple years ago, in 2019, and a lot went wrong in 2019, but one of the primary things was that, like, all the hype leading into that season, we just kind of ignored the fact that we didn't have an offensive line. Like, we were just kind of like, yeah.
We had an offensive line.
We had an offensive line. We yada yada the offensive line part thing. Yes. Like, OBJ and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I mean, sure, Greg Robinson's starting tackle. You're like, whoa, hold on. Time out.
It's like, Greg Robinson's starting low tackle. Like, no, go back to the...
Don't have a right guard. And I think probably the Chiefs have, like, more talented players they're trying to slot in than we had that year. So maybe it'll work out, but they have a lot of, like, really green guys. So maybe it won't. Like, you can't really hang your hat on it in the way that we can hang our hat on our line when it's healthy.
If you can,
and Green Bay is kind of the same way.
I was gonna say, like, well, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Chiefs are all very quarterback dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yes, all teams are fucking quarterback dependent, but, like, to me, from like assist, like, I don't think, like, from a system standpoint, I would maybe put Tennessee up there. Like, and I don't think being a system quarterback is even, that's not, I'm not talking about like a system. Like, I think Baker is going to ascend to,
yes,
the Brady, the Rodgers, the Mahomes this year. Yeah. Also, he's just an elite actor, by the way. Just,
oh my God. Yeah. What's your take as someone who's been in the industry? His timing is just incredible. He's
oh
great.
My God. He, well, yeah. Act circles around anything I ever did. That's for sure. Let's get with this straight. He's unbelievable. He's like, yeah, truly unbelievable. And that's, I mean, you know, not like maybe Manning, a little bit of Brady sometimes, but like, there's not too many great actors out there and also elite quarterbacks. So he really is in rarefied air.
Yeah. No, he's great. It's amazing how much funnier those commercials got after we started winning some more games too. But they're funny. Progressive, just in general, great. Whoever's doing commercials for them,
solid.
They're really good. Good
solid work. Yeah. I mean, they are. I just don't think there's a more complete offense, because it's like, all right, like, yeah, maybe Derrick Henry, I guess, but like, I'm not, like, you know, is Derrick
right.
Henry like who else? Like,
the point,
like,
is, like, that's
Fournette,
their whole
Ronald Jones
plan.
Like,
yeah.
Green Bay's just been converting wide receivers to running backs for the last 10 years. Like, there's no, I know we're losing our minds, but like, tell me who has a better offense. Like, tell me, yeah, who has the most more complete offense. I just think, and yes, we're gonna have to get through our division, but like, I mean, you can lock it in that Lamar's. Okay, we haven't talked about this. Lamar has gotten COVID twice and still not vaccinated.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know.
I saw a great tweet that was like, dudes who are getting like their brains jumbled into oblivion with guaranteed science about like the causes of football.
Yeah.
Like, or need, like, I need to do some more research about this vaccine.
It's, yeah, right. It might be harmful. Got to be careful. Yeah, it's truly bizarre. And I mean, literally, if nothing else, just from like a, hey, I don't want something to keep me out of the game. In the same way, like, I don't know. It's kind of incomprehensible for,
if you're
a team first sort of guy, just get the fucking jab. It's not that bad.
You love Fox News more than your fucking job? Like, what the fuck? Like, the Zach Martin already missing week one for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The tight end for the Dolphins, unvaccinated, very red pill-y. Is out for testing positive for COVID. Like, just politics aside, get the fucking jab, bro. If you are missing,
I just, so you're not like, you don't have to deal with the hassle. In the same way that, like, I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, it's the same reason you don't live on, like, you don't depend on taking a ferry from your house to the game if you're a professional athlete. That's a really weird thing to think about, but it's like, don't put yourself in a position where things that you can't totally control are going to keep you out of a game. So,
well, yeah, and also like, but like, not like a fairy, but also just like
know.
You know, don't like, what am I saying? Like, it's not only that, you're just like, it's like, you're a fairy. And also, oh, you're driving the ferry every game.
Right.
And you've never driven a ferry. Like, and also the NFLPA made it so terrible to be unvaccinated.
Yeah.
So like, I don't understand. That's what I also don't understand, is like, it is so fucking annoying.
Yeah, it sounds like the most annoying thing in the world to be an unvaccinated NFL player, and the way you have to travel and the way you have to like take your meetings, and then not to mention the risk of just being like, oh, like you were near someone, like close to them, and they tested positive, so like it's going to be 10 days before you can step on the field again.
And if you don't, like, I know they NFLPA looked into if Urban Meyer was like cutting someone because they were unvaccinated. Like,
yeah, like, duh.
Like, well, like, no shit. Like, if you are unwilling, if you're like, you know what, I'm not going to lift. I'm good on lifting.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay, bro, kindly fuck off. Like, there's no, like, I'm going to, like, I'm anti.
It
doesn't make any sense. And if a Browns player misses it because they're unvaccinated, you think this fan base is gonna, like, you think the MAGA fan base of the Browns is gonna be like, yeah, good job?
Well, I don't know. I think John Johnson's the only one who's been like outspoken against it. I don't know what his status is, but yeah, it's gonna be like super interesting the way that this plays out throughout the season. And I think probably to our advantage in most ways. I mean, if Lamar alone has to miss a couple games, like that could be the difference between the AFC North. It could be the difference potentially between a first round bye if things really break the way we want them to. So whatever, man, dude.
Let me put it this way. Who are you right now? Who are you the most afraid of in our division?
Like when it comes time to go through them in the playoffs.
Let me be more clear. Just in case you're thinking about like putting you in a dark room with like a, I mean, like, who are you most afraid of on the football field who might prevent the Browns from getting to the playoffs?
That there's reason to be afraid of if you're in a dark room with, and that I'm afraid of on the football field. I'm a little afraid Ben Roethlisberger isn't quite there good it is. Yet. That it's.
That's what I was getting to. You got
there. Yeah. No, I got there. But I do. I think there's a little bit of just like, you know, shot and fell out the window and no one checked on the body sort of thing. With Ben Roethlisberger,
very Michael Myers is like a fat Michael Myers.
Yes, exactly.
I love this summer was just like the Bleacher Report push notification I got that was like, "Watch out, everybody! Ben Roethlisberger dropped 20 pounds." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I am a fat piece of shit and still looking better than Ben Roethlisberger."
Yeah, it's not. We're not like amazed. you should, right? Because you're a professional athlete and all that. And you have every resource possible at your disposal to eat well and exercise.
I think
the Steelers make me nervous. Like, even though we knocked them off in the playoffs last year and it seems like the monkey's off our back, I'm just kind of like, okay, we'll see.
Their line is, I think, their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
I'm more afraid of the Steelers defense and the Ravens offense. But yeah. I mean, I think I'm with you. I think, not to be disrespectful to the Ravens, but I think they're just a little more fragile in terms of they can't play from behind.
Yeah, and things aren't going according to plans with their
11-0 last year.
Yeah, bizarrely, yes.
We're just couldn't lose games, and yeah, all like, I mean the J.K. Dobbins thing is like fucking criminal that they did that.
Yeah, I know. Like, well, except we played Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff that just in sports in general, where if it worked out one way, it's like smart. And if one little thing goes the other way, you're like, what? I mean, how stupid can you be? But it's, you just never know.
That's true. It worked out for us. I don't wish anybody injury, but I do wish Ben Roethlisberger a very injury.
Yeah, man, it's exciting. I'm going to the home opener, Browns Texans.
Oh my god!
Especially after watching this opening weekend of college football and seeing just like seeing jump around at the Wisconsin game. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that, but I'm just like, I'm so sure psyched for this fan base to be in person, like celebrating this team that we barely got to see last year. I can't wait. I'm going with my brother-in-law. We're gonna have a hoot sitting. And not very good seats, but they're expensive these days, and that's what happens, I guess.
Pricey tickets are to see first-string quarterback.
Chiefs, That's going to be a real valuable ticket.
Tyrod Taylor.
Wow.
First string on their depth chart.
Amazing.
Deshaun Watson, speaking of dark rooms you don't want to be in, is their third string.
Weird situation.
I mean, are they going to dress him, do you think? Oh, man. No. God damn it.
No. I don't think so. Right?
Maybe. So he'll be undressed? I'm sorry. Okay, I'm really done this time.
Okay.
He is, listen, a massive piece of shit. And it's a really fucked up situation that the NFL hasn't handled well, but you're not here for that. All I'm saying is Tyrod Taylor will be the starting quarterback. I mean, what's the score of that game going to be? 54-3?
Maybe. That's what I'm hoping for. Because I am cutting my flight back to Chicago really close, so if there's a reason I can leave a little early, it would help.
I think it'll be good in the third quarter to jet out of there.
I hope so. It's going to be it's just the pageantry of it all beforehand. All tailgating. It's going to be amazing.
Let's get out of here.
I have to take over child care duty or I'm in big trouble.
Listen, so you'll be watching that game on an iPad.
Yep.
We'll play the schedule game another time. And thanks for listening, guys. Go Browns.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.